and people that have a visa will be the compensation. Then I'll give you a question from the compensation card.
Then apart from the compensation fund, simply before I do that, I would like to introduce the newly appointed compensation fund commissioner, Mr. Mio Mafata. We officially took over the compensation fund commissioner on the 1st of April. He has been acting all along as the commissioner as I appointed him last year to act. He has put together his team that he is working with. As the committee will remember that we will remove the entire top management of the compensation fund. Last year, I think he started acting on the 1st of June last year. So with him is Mr. Candela, who is the COO of the fund, and Mr. Thando Hedbush, who is the project manager, finance, and the acting chief financial officer of the compensation fund. And next to him is Mr. Liguaba, who is the director responsible for organizational effectiveness. Chairperson, the compensation fund commissioner, Mr. Mafata, previously worked for the Panin Global Insurance Fund as the chief financial officer. So he's very knowledgeable on issues pertaining to finance and understanding that the compensation fund is a financial institution in nature. So we needed somebody with those kinds of competences. So today I'm not going to do the presentation. I'm going to ask him to do the presentation so that he gets to familiarize himself with how it's done. And he'll also take the questions today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, DJ, for the introduction of the team. And thank you for assuring us that the commissioner has been around and the team is much better. This is some we understand that you can use everything that was done. So we will not be pushing you against the wall. But next time we will come, we will do something. The people are particularized in the time. Thank you for that. How much do you want to get that done? I mean, it's here. About a million people. I said, I love you.
It's directly to me that the chair will say seriously, yes, speaking as well as the teacher and myself in the interpreter, did not in that figure contain the message. Sorry for that, teacher, I was unaware because when the director general was speaking, I did want to interpret. I even threw that out to my colleague there, but the director was keeping moving, so I just feared to end up in English, and I apologize for that.
Now,
Mr. Lagen,
commissioner,
over to the commissioner now to deliver over the commissioner.
Thank you, Chairperson, the presentation, we are going to cover two things in the presentation. We'll do a presentation of the fund strategic plan and the annual business plan for 2015-17, as well as the budget that will give us the financial resources to implement the strategic objectives and the from explain. When we developed this performance plan, actually the budget, we took into account the audit action plan that we developed after the audit general completed audit in July last year. We also looked at some of the things that we had identified during the risk assessment, both the operational as well as the strategic risk, and where we've identified certain risks and actions that need to be implemented in the company. We make sure that we include those in the performance plan as well as the remedial action that has been recommended by the internal audit unit in the fund that has done the audit throughout the 2014-15 financial year. So we make sure that where we are committed to implement certain plans, we include those in the ACP. Our ACP is directly linked to the saving delivery outcomes of government as well as the strategic objectives of the Department of Labor. We have identified two outcomes, which is one strengthening the social security through compensation for occupational injuries as well as occupational disease, and secondly also to strengthen the institutional capacity of the compensation fund. Now to get to the outcomes, we've identified two strategic objectives. One would be to provide fast and reliable accessible services by 2020, and lastly also to provide effective and efficient client-oriented support service. And these would then be supporting the three objectives that have been identified by the cabinet. In the ACP, we have about 18 plan indicators, 10 for providing first time level accessible client services, and this is where we give our core business of funds, and 8 where we talk about the supporting the core business of the fund through various measures. And we have divided the business of the fund into 3 programs. The first program, which is administration, which incorporates all support services of the fund, human resources, communication, finance, and also has program 2, which then incorporates, which deals with the core business of the fund, our medical services units, our benefit processing units, which is what they are. So the program, and also the third problem is our provincial operations are also deal solely with the core business of the fund. So that's how we're working down the 3 programs within the budget we've allocated along the 3 programs that we have in the fund. When we look at the under the first program, which is program administration, the first key of administration is looking at improving the maturity level of the risk management maturity level of the fund by the end of the financial year. And there we plan to make sure that we move to a maturity level 3 from the current maturity level of in risk management. The second indicator is on around the internal audit, where we want to make sure that we implement the approved internal audit plan for the fund by end of March 2017. And also we need to make sure that the percentage of all the projects that are on the risk based plan are executed annually by March 2017. Both the risk management and the internal audit are key functions in the support services because they provide assurance to and provide assurance also to the accounting authority, the executive authority of the fund, that we have implemented adequate internal controls in the organization to make sure that we deliver on our mandate. And the fourth thing under program administration is to make sure that we improve or we fix the number of, to make sure that the percentage of objectively registered behaviors are assessed annually by March 2020. Now the assessment is the process with which we raise the revenue for the fund, so we're targeting that by 2016-17. At least 60% of all the active registered employers should be assessed by the fund annually. Over the 5 years, we obviously hope to increase this 60% to until we get to a higher level of compliance and employers. And second thing on the financial management also to fix the to increase in the investment income for the fund, we tell it to increase it by about CPI+2. And this relates to the affiliated surpluses of funds that we then invest through the public investment corporation. And also we have a large number of audit findings that were reported by the audit terminals during the audit at the end of the 2015 financial year. When we have identified a number of findings, there was 8 for 2018, that we want to make sure that these are cleared and we resolve them so that there is not a big care gain in subsequent audits. Then also we have those, so we basically split these into those that affected the audit opinion and those that we're finding that we're of housekeeping nature and that required whether it was issue of internal control. So we can get into about 8 of these of those ones that were actually cleared by end of 2017. And then also those that about 40% of those that affected the audit report needs to be cleared by also by end of March 2017. We also, from an HR point of view, we need to make sure that we fill our vacancies as soon as they become vacant. We the target there is to have no more than 10% vacancy rate in the fund by any financial year. And then filling this position is then enabled to make sure that we are able to execute our money because a lot of the work that we do happens to be. On the program 2, which is the operations management, the first target is to make sure that the percentage of claims that have been authorized for payment, these are paid within 5 working days. The target is to make sure that all of it, once they are approved, they are paid within the 5-day period. The second one is to review the compensation benefit for adjustments to make sure that the benefits that we give to our clients improve and increase annually, so that they are in line with inflation. And the target is to make sure that these are done end of the financial year, so that when the implementation period starts within the other financial year, these are already implemented. Thirdly, it's also to make sure that the medical charges that we pay to medical service providers for treating our clients, these are reviewed and approved before the end of the financial year, so that they're ready for implementation at the beginning of the financial year. One of the other key things that affects the effectiveness and the things we deal with claims from our clients is to make sure that we still need to provide quality medication to the client. And now we want to use to make sure that they avoid queues and problems. So we want to implement a quality medication distribution program where all of the beneficiaries of the fund would then have this medication delivered as and when it's due for the new one. So we have targeted to make sure that we want to have that program in place by end of March 2017. We also want to introduce an electronic case management system because the nature of the fund business is such that if a client is not happy with the outcome of his or her claim, he can be able to raise an objection to the Director General for the claim to be reduced. Now this takes the similar to the court process. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we make the process effective, so once you introduce an electronic case management system, because this process is still largely manual, so we want to have it implemented by March 2017. But also with regards to claims adjudicated, we want to set targets that in 100% of all registered claims adjudicated within the current financial year. So claims that were received in any specific financial year, we want to make sure that 85% of them are just dealt with in that same financial year. And we also satisfied about 85% of the compensation benefits that we receive. Also those then also get finalized within the same financial year, with respect to both medical claims as well as compensation benefits. Also we want to have 85% of all finalized medical invoices, where we receive medical invoices for medical claims for us, make sure that all these are paid within the same financial year that we receive. These invoices from medical service providers, provided that all information is available and allows for us to be able to finalize it. And 85% of all registered compensation claims are adjudicated within 50 working days of receipt of a claim from the employer. And then that will also be the final phase that will be finalized within 6 working days of receiving the invoice. So in order to be able to execute this particular settlement plan, we have also prepared the budget for us. We are targeting here for the 2016-17 year to have revenue of about 18 billion, which is made up of revenue that we get from assessment, as well as the income that we get from the investment of the fund. And then there's some other funding revenue that we generate from dealing with exempted employers, the interest and the penalties that we gave for non-complying employers, as well as those that pay their assessment rate. The administration expenditure on the fund, which is largely made up of the expenditure on salaries, compensation of employees, as well as the group benefits, which is the administration costs for administering the fund, we have budgeted for about 1 billion in 2016-17, with about 50% of the employees to group benefits and roughly 40% of the goes to compensation of employees. And on the benefit side, we credited a budget about 4 billion UK in 2016-17, which is made up of about 3 billion for medical claims, around 1 billion for compensation claims. The US surplus is then budgeted for about 13 billion. The slide just shows the breakdown of the budget for the program. The program one is administration. We're sitting at around 459 million for 2016-17, around 33 million for the program two operation, which is just the boost and savings budget because the compensation of employee budget is included in the administrative program. And then on program three for each operation, which is also largely the boost and savings for the administrative cost of money in the fund and the cost of salary and employees is included in under administrative cost. The compensation of employee budget is just a breakdown to show that the budget for about 1,509 posts, which are made up of about 690 posts that are compensation fund head office and about 399 which are paid across the different provinces as well as some of the functions that we pay for that take place at the Department of Labor and Office. And so the table below just provide a breakdown of the employee cost, just how much the specific employee costs are for 2016-17 as well as the 2017 patients. I'm not going to end up looking at the page. I'm not going to ask a question.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let's welcome this report. Where I'm prepared to give and remember to the last I think Minister Cameron and conversation fund. But having said that, can you just give us a clue because there has been a backlog of things in conversation fund. What is the status currently? Then the second one is on page 12. On page 12, I'm making naive. I'm looking at the slides going on. Administrative expenditure there, we have 25% budgeted for that. And the whole thing is spent on compensation of employees. Where do you all want to get that money for compensation?
Thank you. I saw others present before me, and I'm very happy to ask. First and foremost, I want to publicly announce that this is refreshing. Fantastic to hear the plans to see that the new team that is full of vigor and energy and they have ideas that people come to publishing inputs and everything else that came with it, and each time got worse. And so I'm behind the Honourable Leeway on this one, that if everything that promised comes to pass, well then we as a committee, I think we'll all stand up here and applaud him, because this is wonderful stuff. They are giving the dog an incredible amount of time. 2020, I'm not sure if we need to wait that long. And maybe they can tell us why it's going to take 4 years to catch up. Already we are experiencing bans from people that are 10 years old. Already we've seen doctors that are coming to us and said that they don't treat people anymore because they haven't been paid for the last decade. One of the hospitals said that they haven't been paid for more than a decade. All that is a lot of backlog that the new commissioner has to actually face. And I envy him because this is the type of job that you get put into that can only need disaster for a man with a good career behind him. And so I think he's a brave man, a very brave man to tackle what is a moribund part of the department. This has been an embarrassment for the whole of South Africa for years. DG, thank you for putting this new team, and the new team we wish you luck. But maybe you can tell us where you think the devil is, and where you think you might be able to get us some results more than what you said 2020. I'll probably be dead by then. I'd like to hear from you as to how quickly we can start getting this done. I know that in some of the claims that I've put in on behalf of my constituency, I'm getting results now, and I thank you for that. So maybe we can spread that so we have to actually put it onto a parliamentary letterhead each time to get results. And I'm sure not, I'm sure you've got a system in place that can start getting actual results now. And maybe you can share with us some of those results, excitement that you've had. So thank you for that. To sum up, I'm not here to berate this new team. I'm here to try and close it. Thank you.
As you say, listen, and I do welcome the new commissioner and the new team. Not all of them are new, but there's certainly a good number of new people. And thank you for introducing them to us. We wish you, as my Jewish colleagues would probably like to say, a long and happy life. I'm sure by the time I'm finished, though, you're going to think that it's a good cough and not a bad cough, because, you know, I don't think it is rosy as my colleague thinks it is in here. I think he's just hoping in the future to hit. Again, Rosie, we'll have to just sort out some big complaints. You know, you haven't yet got your mind, maybe that's what that's but yes, you're very welcome, and I hope that you do turn this right around. However, the fund is not turned around, and I don't even know where to start. Your own presentation, I have some questions. We had the difference organized for us in this very room. About, I think it was 2 years ago, 2004, as we did a full briefing by the body that advises us on adjustments to the budget, that is the part of that new body, I forgot what it's name is, but anyway, that finance crowd that come and give us advice on what to look for. And one of the biggest criticisms of all the business plans of all the departments is that the targets on because any 5% within a year means that 15% you're not going to complete the work in 12 months for someone who's sick. But then it looks like you're competent to do it in 60 days. It depends on what you mean by adjudication and finalization and you see, right too, there's these words. And the word only has the meaning that you attach to it. So these targets, from my perspective, bear in mind that train that we got, are not specific enough for us to know how long is the turnaround time target going to be for claims in the compensation funds that are medical benefits. And we want you to make it so specific that the Auditor General will have no problem saying yes, you did it or no, you didn't do it. It's got to be clearer. The targets need to be heightened up so we know exactly, because they're on that spot. Also, a concern that I have in the MTF budget, the compensation claims and medical claims are only expected to grow by 1%. But what most of the patients expected to grow by 25%. And your revenue is expected to grow by 63%. Now, you know, that was a business. IT really wasn't. It's not a business, it's a government department. But it almost looks as though you are not planning to have the claims increase. But 3% for compensation benefits, 1% for compensation claims, 3% for mental claims. Even if you have no increase in claims, the cost of medical benefits goes up way in excess of inflation. Inflation is now 6%. The cost of medical benefits is way above that. I don't know what the current inflation is on medical costs. I suppose it's about 15%. But your budget for the MTF period is for the claims, the benefits, to go up by 3%. So if so far the same claims is dropping very high, but that's true, I'm sorry. But the number there you have for percentage of growth is 3% in claims. But you're going to put up your stopping cost anyway, the list of reports up to 25%. Now, is that not playing for beneficiaries? No, we're not planning for you yet. Any more money. We're going to spend a lot of money on ourselves, on staff, but not on benefits. And when the medical costs are up, you do that. Unless you do, the number of claims is going to shrink, which I don't think is going to happen either. Not by that math, but the math is going to shrink maybe a little bit if we get the expected of the other quality to prevent accidents, then of course it will reduce. In fact, it's not going to reduce by that amount. I'm very worried about this budget. And then we've got this report which came, I think, very long right to us. It's obviously published a long time ago, but quite a few years in looking at it. And then our own staff in Parliament have done their own research. And of course, you know, I think some people don't read all the documents and pages and pages and pages of it. But there are some discrepancies and questions that you must ask. If you look at the medical services in your report, the number of payments in 2011-2012 was 824. Then the next year 934. Then the next year 1.8 million claims. And then in 2014-15 drops from 1.8 million claims to 609,000. And we haven't finished 2015-16, so I don't know yet what the number is, because you haven't yet published and given me your annual report. But this pattern is very worrying. 800, 900, 1.8, then 600, and I don't know what the figure, maybe you can guess what the figure is going to be by the end of the financial year. And then the rand value, you know, 600,000, 1.5 million, 2.1 million, 1.4 million. And then we look at the figure you're projecting here, it's quite. And these figures are worrying. Because compensation claims, you should have roughly the same number of accidents per 1,000 people per year. It should be roughly the same number of claims, unless you're getting good at inspection and enforcement. finance are reported for the last period, which indicates that the Auditor General could not confirm if the benefits paid the fact that it's 6 billion. And in 2014 it was 11 billion. Now I don't know if there's a typo in that report, because Mark referred to accumulated benefits, but it says, right, I've got his benefits paid. Benefits paid stated at 6 billion, 2014, 11 billion. So I assume that that's the benefit paid out, but and that's a range value, 6 billion range. So when you look in this report of yours, 6, 1.5, 2.1, and then 1.4, and this report says 6. So I mean, somewhere I'm misunderstanding something here, all these numbers aren't right. So that's not the difference. And then you need the Auditor General's comment on the state of the finances. There's some severe problems. I don't really want to read all of it to you, but the page off the page, you see phrases about it, this is not consistent with other areas of the annual report in the Auditor General space. This is your 2014-2015 report. We see the Auditor General unable to verify. And then when we go on the ground and inspect and we talk to the public, and then, you know, I'm too scared actually, Chairperson, these days to put out a press release about the compensation fund. Because what it's done is it tells the whole of the public, hey, there's a guy that's trying to help. And then I get hundreds of emails which I then have to forward to the DG and the post office and forward it to the compensation fund. I actually don't want any more people to know that I'm a member of parliament or the Labour Committee, because the complaints are too many. It's a severe problem. And the success was supposed to be coming from the new software program called Umetsuko, am I pronouncing it correctly? But in your report last year, it said the system was successfully deployed, but the challenge is to stabilize the system in a new environment, thus indicating that the rollout process was in fact not successful. Now we're 9 months on, 10 months on. I want to know if it has improved. And we are still, what you've done is decentralized. So the compensation fund, you've opened regional offices and local offices within the labor offices around the country. And I've been in some of those. I've been there a list yesterday where we all visit. And in some of those offices, you've got your own compensation fund guys with their own computers and they're working. But then there are other labor department offices where you don't have one. And I understand the cost of it, that doesn't exist for that. But in those other offices, people are still bringing paper for their claims. The UI-19, the claim form of their own, etc., and anything in paper form. And then they pile up there, and then someone literally has to physically get into their city vault and take a big box of papers and drive it to one of the provincial offices or regional office where cashing does happen for them. So the Umetsuko system only works where it is operational. There are lots of offices where you can't input anything. And then the problem occurs, and this is before your time, so I'm not blaming you specifically as the new head of office entity. But those documents get lost. And we know they get lost, and if you don't believe me, just talk to DG and how many times I emailed him about this woman and he gave the contract. And obviously, by the way, they paid the first mate, by the way. Thank you. But the other vendors are still not paid. For this one person who's been 2 years trying to get that eating tank branch of the compensation fund to get that together, and they've asked for the form 4 times, same forms. But then each time they ask for one extra form that you didn't have in last time. So she must now go get another paper decision again, and another paper, and then go into the eating tank, one of your eating tank offices with that paper. And then that paper never makes it into that school core system. And then the claim is never processed. It's not rejected, it's just there pending for years. The DG has not been arresting him about one or two of these technicians or anything. So you have been into the real problem, and I appreciate the size of the problem. But about your targets being too broad and easy to fulfill, or else unclear as to whether I should fulfill them in a long period for completing the process? Because we don't know, as members of Parliament, what that word educate means. We don't know what that word, what was the other word there? So there's financial problems, there's completion of processes, and then there's all these papers around the country that don't get captured, that get lost, because they have to be physically moved around from office to office. And we have got to get to the bottom of this system. I mean, our proposals, we said in the media, our proposals, we think privatization is the answer. And I know you're not allowed to say that, so you know, I'm not going to ask you the question. But how are you going to get to the bottom of this? It's the biggest medical aid fund in the country that you are running. And it is massively problematic. So I'm sorry to play the bad cop, and my colleague has told you that he welcomes you and you're doing a great job in the few months that you've been there or a few weeks. But it is I wish you well. I hope you take a reminder before games off with everybody, because I don't know if I could do your job. I would need dedication, I think, to do the job. It's a very difficult job. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair, and the honourable members. I just want to start with the question that the oldest member of the colleague has raised. I think we are meant to appeal to the committee to maybe set time aside so that we can come to the committee and present to the committee what to prevent the Queen of our action plan to change the Queen's decision. The report that the Honourable Bellas refers to is the 2014-15 annual report of the Golden Decision Fund. We appeared before SCOPE to respond to the issues that are continuing to report. And we told SCOPE that, well, I take full responsibility for passing the report in the government there. But we also identified the scope of what are the issues in the community, and because the important thing is that you need to understand what are the root causes of the problem. And in our engagement with AG, the central AG group, AG, the focus now is not to assess issues as you raise, because if we do that, we will be dealing with the symptoms of the problem. So we want to dig deeper and address the issues that led to the challenge of the communication part. And one of the things that we decided to change the entire management, because we felt that the management that we had there was not, did not have the competence to deal with the issues of the communication. The Competition Fund is a financial institution in nature. So you require people with financial competence. And with what we found was that there were people who were placed in areas that didn't have competence before. So that's the first part. And the second part relates to systems. So you have people issues, you have systems issues, and of course you have structural issues. We have a view that the Competition Fund is not structured in such a way that it can fulfill its mandate. And we're now even working on the proper structure that will enable that the Competition Fund that we proposed. So we take it that it should be paying beneficiaries, it should be paying the claims, should be processing the claims faster. What is it that we are doing? Well, in order to process medical claims, you need qualified medical practitioners to adjudicate on the claim. We didn't have them. We have them now. We appointed them. We've appointed a professional doctor, professional nurses to process, assist with the processing, with the application of claims. So we are putting systems in place to address the challenges. It's not going to take us a day to do this thing, so it'll take us some time. That's why the action plan. That's why the action plan says, here are the long, short-term goals, here are the medium-term goals, here are the long-term goals. Because it's very important that we be honest with ourselves and not come up with a plan that will only fit to please you, but you can't implement it. It looks good on paper, but you can't implement it. So our focus is on the quick wins now, and things that will have a major impact in changing the communication plans. I can assure you, Chairperson and honorable members, that the processing of medical claims has improved. We're paying quite a substantial amount. I mean, the amount that you were reading there of less than a million, those figures have improved rapidly. Those figures have improved drastically. We now, well, we do understand that, we do acknowledge the fact that from time to time we're assistance related challenges that we work on to improve. I must say that even though Maruba is on progress, since August 2014, when we started with medical processing, I think we have processed quite a lot of claims. And we are currently in the process of ensuring that we have our own system as a compensation fund. So the fund is busy with the process where there will be, I think the commissioner will indicate that they are preparing for a work tender. We are preparing to go to the market to make sure that we have a system, because the challenges relating to Maruba are issues relating to scalability of the system, and because it's not yet for the compensation environment, it's for volumes. I mean, the compensation is volumes compared to the mining environment. So we acknowledge that there are those challenges, and that's why we are now addressing the issues related to the system. And together with issues relating to what age rates, benefits paid, and the fact that they couldn't establish how much we paid and whether indeed those benefits were paid to the people that are supposed to have been paid. I think we were in the process of addressing that, and that's why we beefed up our finance section so that they're able to account properly. I think I'll ask the Commissioner to address some of the issues.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I think I'll touch on some of the things that the DG hasn't spoken about, yeah. And Ms. Matanda will also get. The first question on the backlog. I think the backlog that we have now, we have one, the backlog that where we have the information submitted by the medical practitioner, by the employer, but we still lack some of the documentation, because the claims process is such that we need certain documentation from the doctor, the medical report, final medical report, and so on, we put it finalized. Okay. Now, we haven't been able to identify, for example, when the medical invoices, we were waiting for certain documentation, when we process, but we're waiting for medical reports, so either waiting for medical invoices or queries on medical invoices. The system is roughly around 90,000 in the current year. Then we have also from the compensation credits themselves, where we have either certain documentation that is either required or is still waiting for doctors to provide a report as well, or the employer to provide certain information. We still, I think the all this number is around about those that are 180 days old, which is sitting at around 93,000 of these claims. We have also started a process with started discussing with the South African Medical Association to try and look at, because we are aware that
because of the history and the fund, that there are some data that we might not have faced in the past, so to try and reach out to the whole community of doctors working with African Medical Association to make sure that we then call the doctors and then provide whatever documentation that we have been outstanding that would have led to the claim not being paid. In some cases, it might be made that we lost the document because we are still largely manual. In other cases, for instance, we have a whole process of money. There are no, we have to check all information from people that's on the system, getting paper and check everything on the system. So we will be starting the process with the African Medical Association, so that will help us to deal with the post-Nasuko claims that doctors might still have to pass. And we'll also be going on the same drive with the claims themselves, because we are aware also that there are some workers that might have been injured, people in the reported, that there might have been no claims paid and so on. So we also will be going on separate publicity exercise for those to just try and get those taken. And then where we need to work with the doctor to make sure that we can resolve and then do that. So we're trying to clean up the process. That's why everything will take us much longer to get to efficient stage. The question on the number is, I think there is no shortfall. The difference is that on this particular side, that I'm sure it's the full compensation of employees, including all other costs, your recycling costs, subsidies, and so on, that we have to go with the salaries and wages. But on this other side, we just basically show only the salaries and wages component of the compensation of employees. So that's what makes up the difference. There was the question also on the Honorable Body is asking the claims why we want to why we're going by our 3% over a period of time and the administrative cost are rising by 25%. Now, I think this is just an accounting issue. The fund uses an accrual basis of accounts. So what we do at the end of each financial year, we do an actuarial assessment based on all claims that we've received, where the actuary will then help us to assess what would be the amount, the number of claims that we have prepared. We had an incident reported that we have dealt with all the incidents. And then they quantify the amount of this particular claim. We then disclose those on the financial as outstanding claims reserve, based on outstanding claims reserve, as we show on the financial statement. When it happens that we pay these claims in the following year, we don't necessarily record that as a new expense. We offset it against the claims reserve. So what we show as a new expense is the claim that occurred in the current financial year paid in the current financial year. So that's what we call. So you find that, for example, we pay a large number of claims, but what you see on the income statement, on the only showing those that after a specific period. For example, this year we've already paid more than 6.5 billion in claims. And we're still doing an assessment, but you'll find that more than half of those would relate to claims that would have occurred in the past year. So you won't see those in the income statement, but you might see the outflow in the cash flow statement and so on. So I think that's the issue of a certain accounting issue.
The first part was the authorization of the claim. In terms of what indicators, we tried to look at the different cases of the claim. We start by registering the claim, and then we want to assess that the claim is in the injury or duty or the disease or duty. Then we assess the for increasing security, the one we realize that through the injury issue. That should get to adjudication. Once that is done, we then start preparing for payment. Someone is authorized and actually extended. That we call authorization, where someone is authorized for payment. We call that operation, and then the five things that we have sent to refer to the payment in finance. Once that is done, the venture is complete, so the process is complete. Finance is able to pay the five things. But so you can hear that is not the issue. The issue is the whole process, which you're trying to resolve. And then finalize refers to claim that is where we've assessed the liability and where we've selected in terms of the claim, the limitation. And then on the medical side, it refers to a medical invoice where
important to share from my side. I mean, the leader was only talking about the Lesotho, but I must just say that what the Lesotho system is much, much better than the slave system that we had in the fund in the past. It might have been challenging and so on, but the amount of controls that are in the system has enabled us to make sure that we fix the rate at which we pay the rent, despite all the challenges that we have with the system. And part of the inconsistency in the numbers that we only spoke about was the fact that, for example, at the beginning of the implementation of the Lesotho system, we had a lot of challenges in the beginning in getting those claims paid. That's why we find that, for example, 2014-15, the amount of claims is much less than the prior years and so on. And we've been able to get over that, and we are now starting to pay again. And the process is, with the new system, you basically do away with all manual paper that you need to get, because the employer notifies you of the incident on the system itself. The doctor doesn't have to send you a fiscal paper for the invoice. He submits the invoice in the same way that he submits invoices to other companies, electronically. So that was some of the benefits that enabled us to be able to deal with the place much quicker. Because where in the past you would have to locate invoices that are sitting in boxes to adjudicate. And Jimmy spoke about the fact that we now have some of the medical service practitioners that are helping us still adjudicate some of these claims that we get.
That's what
I think
that we didn't respond to is on internal basis, whether there are any consequences. Yes, there are consequences. That's why we have suspended the chief financial officer, the compensation factor. So we put in place another process, actually because of the fact that he didn't do what he was supposed to have done in terms of ensuring that we improve internal controls. Not only him, but a number of officials that are facing different processes as a matter of fact that they haven't done what they're supposed to do. So yes, there are consequences. The commissioner spoke about the fact that we're engaging with hospitals. And we heard that we were receiving a positive response to them. And initially, they were very hostile to the compensation fund. Understandable given the history. But I think now they are coming to the party. We are paying them. The commissioner spoke about the meeting we had with Osama, which was a very positive meeting. And now we're getting closer to them. Just for the record, Jefferson, we also extended, we wanted to reach, the regional ideologists, and they flatly refused to cooperate with us. In fact, I know that there's been a statement in the media, they made a statement in the media. They are threatening to take the compensation fund to court. We will oppose that. We will defend ourselves because they are loyal to us when we interact with the members. We say, submit to the things so that we can process them. They wrote to the fund, instructing the fund not to communicate with their clients. Now, how do you resolve these issues if you don't talk to the people who are affected? And then they turn around and say, we haven't paid our clients, but we are reaching out to them, we want to pay them. But we're saying to them, can you send us the outstanding documentation so that we can begin to look at the things? Especially if you think we owe you 140 million, somebody must adjudicate the thing. And then we must take liability, and not all of those things are, we will take liability for. It is only after you have done that the adjudication. So we're confident that we will be resolving the cases, working with these institutions. However, we have one slight problem. In as much as we have challenged with Umar Fokosaki, what people do, you may flood the system with duplicate claims. And that is, these are the people who normally run to the courts. And not afford the opportunity to process the claims and get an order from the courts and that we need to pay them. And I can't pay them if they haven't adjudicated the system. And when the system rejects their claim, they then go to court again. Because according to them, the system must not reject the claim. And the system will reject the claim if there's outstanding commission, or if they see that if you were successful, let's make an example. Let's say you were given a tablet, a fanatic for instance, and then you claim 200 rand for one fanatic. And the system is trying to so we can pick that up. And then when the system rejects, the third party companies cry out and they go to court. Because according to them, the system should just process the things. And I'm raising this because we're slowly closing the leaking gap. And we can see that it creates some degree of discomfort for those who have been benefiting from the inefficiencies of the consultation. Well, that's actually why the third party companies were established. It's because of the inefficiencies of the consultation. So once you close that leaking gap, some of the companies are also just request because their business model is developed around the compensation fund. Thank you.
Yes, in four times cases, I've got a follow-on question. The new commissioner says that his accounting arrangement, which makes that 3% growth in claims understandable. I understand that you're saying to me that the growth that is 3% is only for the 12 months of claims reported in that particular year and not the long historical outstanding. I understand that. But I still don't think you're interacting with my main point, which is that medical expenses within those 12 months are about 15%, and your financial arrangements to pay are going to go about 3%. So there is still a problem, even if you're only talking about current claims. Does that presume that you're not going to pay them? Or how are you going to make up the shortfall? Or are you assuming that we're all not going to have accidents at work and not claim? It doesn't make sense to me. Then, listening to this adjudication and authorization and all that, we were told that now 60 days for initial adjudication. Then, you're allowing 12 months for current financial year possible for you to be measured on authorizing of the payments. And then for medical companies, it could be a further 60 days in which you will pay them, or 5 days to pay out from that, so it could be 55 days. So that's 60 days plus 120 days, sorry. 12. Within the current financial year, so that's 355 days. So it could be 60 days if you get 365 days, which is your target to authorize, and further 60 days to pay. So you're looking at 450 something days contingent. No. That's what you're allowing yourself. I'm telling you, basically, that the policies are so long that persons can wait for those full periods because you allow it. You allow 60 days for adjudication, 12 months, which is 365 days for authorization, plus another 60 days potentially to pay your medical. I'm actually going to add them up because that's potentially what will happen. Is that one person who lost the claim, it'll take 60 days to adjudicate. If they've got all their forms, which often they don't, then to all others, your knowledge is 85% received will be finalized in the current financial year, 365 days, pay 50 days to medical companies. Do you understand what I'm saying? That there's a long period if all of those things are worst-case scenario. And then, you're saying you'll only do 85% of it in that period. So there's a 15% you may have to wait longer than 450 days. I mean, there's a maximum of 60 days for adjudication, and 65 days in which you'll be measured on whether or not you authorize, and 60 days to pay medical claims. So that total period is very long. I don't like that. I know you're going to tell me that you're going to pay some sooner. I accept it. So I deal with these people when they've been waiting 500 days. My colleagues do. You see? And so we don't want to let it off too lightly. This period is too long. For us as a parliament to say, okay, for someone to wait 150 days for you to pay their doctor for X-rays, that doctor's going to harass that poor person day after day after day. We can't have these long 12 months and only pay 85%, only order 85% for 10 12 months. It's too long. Seriously, it's too long. The scalability issue, DGR, I know that I've been here a bit longer than you. I'll just say this quickly, but you know, I could see different concepts in my mind behind you. And in my mind, I could see Jimmy Money sitting behind you as the DG. And in my mind, I could see, of course, United Flego as the DG sitting behind you, and the previous minister even saying those same words. It was almost like deja vu when we took the software from Mutual Aid Fund, the Rand Mutual Aid. They said, oh, there's a problem, it's not scalable. And KPMG told them it's not scalable, they should cancel it. And they've got Siemens who can software, and there's a problem with scalability. So we went back to the Rand Mutual Aid and got it again. And I almost, you know, it's a bit typical for me sitting here hearing the new DG, very enthusiastic, saying, there's a problem with scalability with the Mutual software. I mean, it's the same problem. We keep having over and over, and we don't seem to solve it. It's not scalable. And we back to 2009, you know. And then I just wanted to get clarity on you said 90,000 claims and outstanding documents currently. And then you had another figure of 93,000 claims that something is wrong. And I didn't get what you said. If you could just say what that other 90,000 was, and is there overlap? Is it the same 90,000? Was there 90,000 that's outstanding documents and 93,000 others have got another problem? That's not the same 90,000. Sorry, I just didn't, you know, these numbers are quite difficult for us. Sorry, thanks.
I think the call for the turnaround is a piece of communication fund. We will be the one that will ask us to understand whether it is presented here with us or not. And fortunately, that day is not far because the program that was sent to you, remember, the one that we have to access today, that day, 28th, the coming here to present, that turnaround, this is kind of compensation fund. Well, if we, all the questions that we will ask you today, you can try to answer them. But I think the major implication of the compensation fund, whether we will come up with a solution or not, it will be on that day.
If I may, I won't ask any new questions, but if I could maybe get one sentence answer to the ones I raised now, I won't ask anything new.
So, whatever you want to answer to, do you comment or anything about that? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think the issues around the 80, 90 days, 85% and so on. We will look at the comments that Honorable Kelly. The intention is to make sure sure that clearly is in and out of the compensation can be put together. So I think we can maybe just the many issues first, the different cases of different issues. So we look at that. That's why we just think we want to initially say 50% the whole time, which is a competition. We'll align ourselves with other major organizations so that we especially think that to adjudicate a claim still less dependent on third parties to provide information. We may not be provided information, stronger giving information. So the issue on the record. I think there's two things that the medical service providers claim medical expenses that they already treated our client. And you've got the client claims as well, whether it's paying for temporary total settlement or permanent settlement or so adjudicate for that claim as well. So these are two separate. The 90,000 is where we have invoiced, we process the invoices, like we have not paid it yet. At the end of the financial year, what is allowed for a smooth cycle when we're in the financial year, we enter into a freeze around the last week of May, where we then don't pay any tax. We just continue to process, but we don't pay. And then only start to pay in the beginning of the financial year, which on Friday last week. And some of these invoices, we process them, we adjudicated, but either one or two things that we require for each day, which pay. We just need to get back to the medical service provider to provide so that you can pay. Other than just waiting for the payment. And then on the claims that are due to our client, there we, I think it's 3,000 where you have, for example, about 81,000 of it has been adjudicated. And once again, maybe there's something you need for a medical doctor to provide to you so that you can be able to finalize the claim. Others are just waiting to be paid. We have others where we have not accepted the liability of this. Because either the medical information that we provide or whatever is provided does not enable to be able to make a decision of whether we're accepting the liability for the claim or not. And others would be where we repudiate the claim altogether, for example, we say that the information submitted is not sufficient to enable us to make a decision on the claim. Chair, I think we'll look at it, but certainly the engine is true. The cost of medical claims that's used in the compensation fund is unusually higher than what other medical aid are paying. And I think over time the fund has been trying to compensate for the efficiency. One of the things that we want to look at is to look completely of the service that we pay to medical service providers. We might not include that in the EQQ, but that's something that we're looking at. So the increase in the medical fees, together with the review that we do on how many kind of things that we pay, that would also contribute to the reduction in the amount of medical claims. So we know we're suggesting that the amount of claims would reduce, and I think the red value of the claims should reduce over time because we pay quite high premium for the inefficiency.
Thank you. There will be no response that you could give them on compensation and that will be committed or taken into account that they are coming from far with the problem and yourself with the internet problem. But what will show a green light to us is what will be presented in the media. And fortunately, could you see your health and the you know what is that the name of the problem, which is the payment, this payment, and how are you going to deal with the debt loss, and how are you going to deal with all that was lost, and all these things that they cannot find, to ensure and how you can get those up here. So by now, you know all the questions that we have in the communication, that we want that has been asked, and we have taken into consideration. I think that we must appreciate the effort to try and show the intent to want to resolve the problem. And we said we were not interested in your telling us, but we want to see the